best song.
Blog Talk Radio.
Going to Cuba, going to Europe. I mean, Africa. Hold on.
greatly distracting.
Yes.
Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, as you know, because I was not muted during our previous conversation. But you now know that you are listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, healing, holistic, evolutionary, revolutionary, on a Pan-African Hudu world spiritual. Understanding that all is being a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion, that's one of the greatest finds. It's my prayer, my revelation. Very foundation. Teaching, walk, my office, aspect, is how I, the Divine Mind, here in our day, today is Tuesday, August 16, 2011. I am emanating by way of this voice live, virtually, verbally, cosmic, quantum, verbal, work, help to provide strength. I am excellent. Happy to assist you. Angelic Soap, please do let me know if the sound is better. I just now saw your message, and I do appreciate that. We have been dropping. We might not even be on air now. Oh, yes, we are. Okay. We have been dropping since the beginning of the show, so I'm not sure if it's me or Blog Talk Radio. Okay, great. Thank you. I most certainly do appreciate that. Maybe I'm just not talking loud enough. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Today we do have Sula with us in the house representing Zion Trinity. She will be forward momentarily. So please do spread the word. Take the time now to tweet us, to Ulife Facebook, to Ulife, share this button and let the community know that we are now broadcasting live. Sula and Zion Trinity are present with us, and this will be a powerful, powerful show. I am indeed humbled and honored, grateful for each and every one of your divine all blessed being and presence here on Block Talk Radio for the Power Lunch at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time. Angelic Soap, one of our temple high priestess and faithful sponsors, we most certainly do welcome and appreciate you. All of our special guests, Hakima, Kim Woods, we are grateful for your divine being and presence. Sula is actually on the keyboard, so you'll see my name, but it's actually Sula typing in, responding to you all. To you all now. And of course, we welcome and honor each and every one for your divine, all blessed, sacred being and presence here with us. This will be a powerful show, and we look forward to coming to you and sharing with you. Truly, all is indeed a blessing. Just give us a few extra moments here to sort of set up and get things coordinated, and then we will be forward. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Okay, I do apologize for that. We're actually going to have an opening now for Legba by Sula herself. So please do gather around. All is a blessing.
Ago, Legba, Ago. In the Haitian tradition, we salute in all traditions, actually, but in the Haitian tradition that I'm choosing for this particular song, we salute the story of Legba, who is going to come and open the road and open the way for new beginnings, for new wisdom, for new truth. Ago Legba. Legba Nambaea. Legba Nambaea. Legba Nambaea. C'est au qui pour les drapeaux, c'est au cap à le soleil pour vaillot. Legba Nambaea, Legba Nambaea, Legba Nambaea, c'est au qui pour les drapeaux, c'est au cap à le soleil pour vaillot. Eu capale sole puvaio. Eu capale sole puvaio. Now, in the Yoruba tongue, we ask that the way be opened. Ago Legba. Barasu wayo. O monyela guara mama. Kenida iwo. Divinity grow, may our prosperity grow, may our children grow, may our families grow, may divine love crown us and keep us, and may every door and every window be open for our success. I give thanks for the divine prince. I give thanks for the crowning of his head, of his ori. I give thanks for this beautiful home which is housed by the ancestors and just flooded over with ancestral beauty. So I give thanks today, and I greet all of you with love and divine beauty.
Thank you.
give thanks, for indeed all is truly a blessing. I give honor and reverence to each and every one of you present with us here now live in the chat with myself and Sula of Zion Trinity. We honor and recognize your sacred being and presence. And we indeed give thanks for you taking the time out of the middle of your day at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, to be here for the Power Lunch with myself, Sula, representing Zion Trinity. And we honor each and every one of you. Angelic Folk, one of our faithful community members, sponsored virtual temple priestess, Goddess Mother Orisha, another of our temple priestess, Hakima, our community member, we honor you. Kim Woods, we welcome you for your divine and sacred presence. Sister Cirrus, we welcome you back again and sharing your light and your love here with us. And, of course, Spiritualist Catherine, another member of our virtual temple, we honor and recognize each and every one of you for being present here with us. And those of you who are with us on the phone lines, we also recognize you at area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Remembering that if you do have a question, comment, or request, press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will be more than happy to address you. Now I am going to give the mic over again to Sula. You can turn it down. Indeed, all is a blessing. Ashe.
We now salute the spirit of Obatala. And this particularly this morning was a very important Orisha for me to salute. Clarity of the mind, being able to clear our minds and bring us to our highest state of consciousness. Some know that as our Christ consciousness. Some know that as our just divine crown chakra, that it just be sharpened. My prayer right now with this song is that people receive clarity in their minds, clear thoughts and clear actions, and a clear heart to do this work. It is through the clarity that we will gain our wisdom. So, Ashe Obatala, may the God of the White Cloth cover all of us and give us the divinity, the wisdom, and the peace that we need to do this work. Ashe, ashe. Akete oba oba seniye. Akete oba oba seniye. Baba yoko dara oba la ese. Oba la ese. Baba fumila ye. Akete oba oba seniye. Akete oba oba seniye. Baba yoko tara oba na ese. Oba na ese. Baba fumila ye. Oba na ese. Oba na ese. Baba fumila ye. Oba na e. Oba na dide. Oba na e. O bala dide, o bala feye si moro, o bala dide dide, o bala e, o bala dide, Oba la e, oba na vive, oba la feye si moro, oba la dide dide, bala e go gini bala. Bala e go gini bala, gini bala ma wo, bala e go gini bala. Bala e go gini bala, gini bala ma wo. Bala e go gini bala, bala e go gini bala, gini bala ma wo. Bala e go gini bala. Ache obatala, may we always be crowned with the wisdom of the ancestors, with the wisdom of all that is holy, all that is righteous, and all that is pure. We say ache.
I say. That was wonderful. I almost felt like I should have been playing some kind of percussion behind that.
You should, the next song.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And again, we show great honor to each and every one of you for being present with us. And do please tweet us now, Facebook us, utilize the share this button, and invite more of your friends and family to be here and be a part of this rare and exciting experience with Sula representing Zion Trinity. We also have some announcements, I believe, that she did want to share about some upcoming events. And, of course, she will be performing more great Orisha songs for us as we move forward, and we do give thanks. I want to take just a quick intermission, and we will be forward with some of her announcements and other information and more of Sula representing Zion Trinity here with you on Blog Talk Radio. Also, she's asked me to remind you that Zion Trinity, songwriters who sing in the genres of reggae, jazz, funk, and traditional African ritual music, and just about everything in between, can be found via her ZionTrinityBand.com website, but also by visiting www.youtube.com/ZionTrinity. And, of course, those of you who are already connected to us via Facebook, you know that I've already offered some direct links on my page back to Zion Trinity's website as well as their YouTube channel. And we offer you now to take the time in and share and explore that with others. They have been the opening act for Joseph Hill and Culture, The Wailers, Burning Spear, Lucky Doobie, Maze, featuring Frankie Beverly, Roots Underground, and Groundation. And on the international stage, Zion Trinity has performed at the Harlem Jazz Club in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Their sound captivates the masses with powerful harmony and original music to feed the soul. This group was established by the Divine Creators in 1997 as a prayer group and is now known today as New Orleans Female Vocal Sensation Zion Trinity. Their international, diverse, and dynamic world beat, reggae, jazz, funk, and African traditional ritual music. They are available for festivals, workshops, background vocals, jingles, commercials, studio sessions, conventions, conferences, and they have a new CD that will be coming out in the coming months. So please do stay connected. For more information on Zion Trinity, visit www.ZionTrinityBand.com. Also, www.youtube.com/ZionTrinity. And as always, you can come out and meet myself and Sula and other members of Zion Trinity on Sundays at 2 p.m. in Congo Square, where we have our ancestral ritual, spiritual drumming, dancing, singing, and chanting, libation pouring, celebratory, ceremonial cleansing, offering, grassroots community, holistic healing gathering each and every Sunday, 2 p.m. at Congo Square. And we often share a meal at Golden Feather Mardi Gras Indian Gallery. But this Sunday will be a special Sunday because it will be Sula's birthday this Sunday. So we invite you to come out and help us to share and show honor for Sula's Earth Day, her birthday on this Sunday at Congo Square. It will be a grand event. And we welcome each and every one of you locally, as well as those close enough to hop a bus, train, or a car. We will most certainly welcome you with open arms. I will be forward with more from Sula and Zion Trinity momentarily. Remember that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. In this most present and divine moment, we loose divine peace and love, unity and community. We bind that which would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave within us and around us. Viper and vampires, haters and perpetrators, Rasta imposters, fake and Jamaicans, liars and pacifiers, rabid rabbis, pimping preachers, armchair revolutionaries, overnight psychic spirits with backstabbers, false prophets and fearmongers, strong-armed prophetizers, parasitic politicians, and all those who would seek to hinder, harm, and enslave progress, spiritual freedom and evolution, and forward movement. We bind all manner of danger, seen and unseen, evil known and unknown. And we loose divine light and consciousness, truth and power, wisdom and understanding into our earth plane dimension for immediate revelation and manifestation. We vibrate now and connect and reconnect with our ascended ancestors, Gelede, Gede, and Egungun, and all those who've gone on before us in transition and which would assist us now in all that is good and righteous here and now in this most present moment in time space. And we forever reverberate and reiterate their names and enliven our lives with their divine wisdom and presence. Ancestors known and unknown, divine spirit forces seen and unseen. May we forever give their names praise and glory and not bring shame dishonor, and disgrace. Shall we manifest now our highest good and vibration here and now in this divine moment in time, space, and realize our ultimate destiny to change the world, to change so-called civilization, to change ourselves as we now know it. I and I and I, even me, as we enter this hallowed and sacred ground, let us be mindful in our inner walk, work, and pronunciations, and that they would project upon and recreate and reshape the reality of all towards that which is true, authentic, pure, righteous. As we enter the inner sanctums of Hoodoo Central, in the presence of all who stand with us, ever stood with us, will stand with us in divine peace and love, joy and prosperity, community and co-unity. We offer libation for the rebirthing, regeneration, rejuvenation of the endurance and life force of our ancestors and those who've laid the foundation for us in blood, sweat, and tears. We light and illuminate our candle of a constant and fervent prayer unto our spirit guides and protectors, a reminder of the presence of light even in darkness, a guiding lamp and amplification of our soul's journey through the darkness of this underworld. We burn it off of frankincense and myrrh to cleanse and purify our light bodies and our intentions. Ever pure in our motivations, ever pure in our understanding, ever pure in our dealings with one another and ourselves, ever pure in our connection with spirit. So hear the sounding, chiming harmonies and vibrations of this divine crystalline universal reverberation, reordering and rebalancing us all, ever steady back into light and God consciousness, reminding us that all is truly and indeed a blessing if we can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. So it is each and every day that I pray and ask that divine spirit would bring me into union with you, with myself, with all creation. For we are indeed one creation, one body, one spirit. Remove the obstacles and keep me from the experience of your divine presence, my divine presence. Allow me to clearly perceive your light, your voice, your vibration, your guidance. Walk with me into my mysteries. Replace my fear with faith, knowing, and understanding. Give me the capacity to abide the mysteries put along my path. I give up the need to know why things happen as they do, and I surrender my will to a higher divine will. Allow me to feel your divine presence as much in change and in transformation as in peace, tranquility, and happiness. And show me the purposes for which I have been born. Align my energy to my divine purpose. I accept the tasks that emerge. I accept the challenges. I accept the challengers that develop the real me, that develop the real I. Speed my evolution. Show me things energetically rather than to have me always to live them out. Let me learn by seeing, hearing, sympathizing, empathizing before I manifest by doing. Take away my distractions, my false voices, my illusions and misconceptions. Even me. Remove all blocks, even I, to my spiritual growth and evolution. Show me my shadow side and what I'm here to learn in becoming a balanced and conscious being. Help me to develop honor, creativity, integrity, endurance, commitment, compassion, harmony, and mercy. I call my divine spirit back into our present time, space, dimension for immediate revelation and manifestation. I unplug my energy from people, places, and things into whom and in which I have invested. I will no longer finance the past or past negative, unhealthy memories with my time, energy, or emotion. I ask Spirit to help me to remember that all people are here in my life according to a divine and perfect plan. They are helping me to fulfill my sacred contract as I am helping them to fulfill theirs. So I bless, I forgive, I release those whom I perceive as having harmed me in any way, and I ask forgiveness and release of those who I may have harmed in any way. And I'm thankful for my life and just the package that it has come, just as it's unfolding. I'm thankful for many teachers, guides, inspiring people, motivators, agitators, inspirators, and may there be divine harmony among us all. The divine creators and their emissaries are my help in every time, space, need, and deed. They fulfill my every hunger, feed my every need. They walk with me, within me, beside me, before me, divine guides along my way. Through every moment, every event, every emotion, every situation, every journey, every day. I am now wise. I am true, patient, kind, and loving to, and all things I am, can do, and be through the divine creators who empower and enliven me. Their truth, it is in me. I need only to still my mind, my ego, the voices, and listen to the real me, the real I. They are my health. I cannot be sick. They are my strength, unfailing. I cannot be bound. My all, my knowing, I know no fear. The divine truth is life and love, spirit and unity. Co-create with me. Co-create with me now, and it shall be. Ashe. I will be forward momentarily. All is truly and indeed a blessing.
Et ça me fait mon taille, oh mon Dieu. Mon Dieu, dans ce ciel-là, ça me fait mon taille, oh. Ça me fait mon taille, oh mon Dieu. Mon Dieu, dans ce ciel-là, ça me fait mon taille, oh.
Pour nous penser, pour nous réfléchir, ça me fait mon taille, pour nous comprendre ça.
Thank you.
Talking about the importance of understanding some of us as better Americans, understanding our background and our reality as Christians and Muslims and other backgrounds, other traditional backgrounds or religious backgrounds, and also coming into a reality of African religions and how do we merge those? How do we manage those things? How do we negotiate our reality and not have to feel like we have to choose? And I was telling Divine the path that we all take is very interesting because we're all called on different paths and different journeys in life. And sometimes we face criticism from other people, like how do we negotiate being a Christian and you know, practicing African tradition or being a Christian and saluting the Orisha. And one day I was in divine meditation about that, and in conflict, in truth, you know, about how do I negotiate that, because I love me some Jesus, and I know who the Master Spirit is, and I know that divine consciousness comes through the Spirit of Love, which we know is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And I love Christ, but I also understand that the ancestors have called me from a young age, as they've called you and many other people that are listening today. So it's really a very interesting and delicate balance. And one day in meditation, the Creator told me that I didn't have to choose, that all of these experiences, my experience as an early experience in the Christian tradition, early experience with the Veil of Truth and the monastic traditions, as well as coming into the African traditions, I realized that all of those paths helped to make who I am today. So it would be blasphemous to negate one for the other, because they're all part of my human development and my human experience here.
I found for me, if I may use the metaphor of prodigal son, I had a more of that type of relationship. Having grown up in the church in a family of ministers, many of you know my first cousin, Larry Trotter out of Chicago, all I knew was church. And in coming into myself and having Spirit take me back, if you will, to my roots, to my African heritage, there was a period there where I had to distance myself from them. I had to reject all of that teaching and all of that understanding in order to embrace, if you will, where God was taking me, you know, on this next level. But as I studied and researched and grew and matured, I found that it translated over different language. And I think a lot of times it is about the language. You can gather a group of so-called Christians together from 10 different churches, and you're going to get 10 different dialects. You're not going to get quite the same language, if you will. So I found that I had to find a way to replace the language, particularly when communicating with others who may not have that connection to the church, and then trying to make sense for them how I'm able to sort of navigate both of those worlds. I have a great relationship with my mother in particular, who's a well-known author and Christian evangelist. And even now I've noticed that she's changed some of her language at which she communicates with me. It's almost as if I may say, I can speak her language, you know, which is the Bible, the gospel, and all the dialogue that goes along with that. But I can also now speak my language, which has become more African-centered and Pan-African and based, and she understands that. It's not a battle anymore. I think for many of us, we're struggling to make sense of our own understanding, and we often project that onto other people, particularly when they go a different direction than we. We start to ask ourselves, well, what does their walk mean about me? What does their demonstration say about my demonstration? And often, too, if I might quickly add, the opinions others played a key role in the original illusion of disconnectedness me and my parents experienced in religion. A lot of times it was about what other people would think about, you know, me being on the Oregon barefooted in my African, you know, clothes while everybody else is in a suit, you know, in a tie. And I struggled for many years to sort of bring that experience into the church, into my church experience, only to find that it wasn't always well received. So again, I sort of see it as a prodigal son in a way, a going away, if you will, on a spiritual journey, but then coming back a different person, a more matured person, and able to empathize and sympathize with where others are. And we talk about this a lot on my show as it relates to the quote-unquote conscious community. We tend not to be empathetic about where others are, whether we see them as being advanced or elementary. If we are about the community and we're about each other and we're about our people, we have to allow for some room for people to grow, just as Spirit has allowed for us to grow and to sort of meet us somewhere in the middle. So my mother is still a proud evangelical, apostolic, sanctified Christian, but is proud to have a voodoo practicing son who she now is not ashamed of, who she now is glad to be on my Facebook and glad to be on my space, and she doesn't, you know, does not see the conflict in that. And it has pushed her ministry to another level as well as it pushed mine to another level.
That is so divine, because it really is sometimes, it can be a real problem sometimes when we look to those people that we love so well to affirm us. And we are stepping out into something that we know we've been chosen for. And sometimes you're met with affirmation and sometimes you're not. But it's in the times that you're not met with the affirmation that it really helps you to understand the fullness of why you were chosen.
Yes.
And there's a book that I really love that I've read. You know, again, most spiritualists have immersed themselves in several different traditions. And I remember in my early walk in the Rastafarian tradition, someone directed me to The Keeper and the Gust.
Yes, yes.
And I love that book. It's so wonderful. But it's a book about the story of the King of Kings and how the beautiful Queen of Sheba came to meet King David. Well, what I really took from that book that I really carried with me in my life is that they talk about a person in a family and in a particular village that carries the pearl, that there's one in every family that carries the pearl. And in carrying the pearl, it is a beautiful thing, and at the same time, it's something that it takes a tremendous amount of courage to carry that pearl, because not everyone in the family has the pearl. There's certain select ones in families and villages that carry the pearl. And in carrying the pearl, you are the one to bring divinity and light and understanding and wisdom to your family. And you're often seen as the outsider or the one that's strange or the one that's questioned. So in our early walks, we've all faced rejection from our families because they don't understand it all the time. But in the beauty and in the rising of the sun, we understand that we are the pearl, and we're not going to look like anyone else in our family. We're not going to sound like anyone else, perhaps in the village. And even during the time of Christ,
we may even reflect an ancestor who's already gone on, maybe four or five generations back, that we might represent and just don't have knowledge of that connection. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's so beautiful because that's actually what brought me closer to the path with one of my ancestors on my mother's side. I'm sure I have many, many on my father's side as well. But this particular ancestor called me at a young age, and she was born in Cane River, Louisiana. She was born in 1742, and she's just so beautiful. I love her. They called her Coin Coin. But in researching her lineage back to and linguistically tracing her name back, the closest thing that matches Coin Coin is a name that belongs to the Eze people. The name is Kokwe. Kokwe belongs to the second-born female child in the Ewe family. My great-great-grandmother was the second-born female to her parents. And so in my Ita, when I went back to Ghana to be initiated, I say Ita because the Ghanaians don't have a name for Ita that I know. But using a Yoruba word for Ghanaian tradition, in my Ita, it spoke very clearly about the child, the ancestor returning. And so I was crowned the name Kokwe, given her name again, because it was told in my Ita that I walked as her then, and I walk with her now. I walk as her now. And I'm very clear that as a young girl, I had no room, I had no way to discuss this African ancestor that was crowning me. I had no way to talk about her because it wasn't until my early 20s that I actually read a book about her that told me about her. And the book is called The Forgotten People, The Creoles of Color from Cane River, Louisiana. And through The Forgotten People, I was given my birth and my walk into her world. And early on, my family, they didn't quite understand it because, you know, of course we have this thing, color politics in the Creoles,
yeah.
with the Creoles, where
yeah.
if she's African, you may not want to talk
yeah.
about her too much, you know what I mean? So I really had to find a language to know who she is, and she has tapped me on my shoulder from a young girl. The Holy Spirit sent me to the altar in the church at 12 to become born again. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at a young age, but realized that I'm an African. I'm just an African on this side of the water. No matter how light, no matter how much our ancestors, our grandmothers might have been raped by the slave master, we are African. And there will be never anything to turn that around or turn that back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you are called, you must come forward. And those that are called must hear the call, because if you don't, then there will be things to come upon your life that will make you hear the call. I denied the call for many years. Many, many years. I've always known I was a priest. But when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I called my Baba from home, my Obusunfo, which is our name for the priest. We call him Obusunfo. So my Baba, Nana Obusunfo Aiyah, I called him 5 years ago and said, Baba, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And he said to me in his very rough Ghanaian voice, this is not about breast cancer. This is about you receiving your crown. You have denied this crown for 20 years. And I told you 20 years ago you would come to this shrine crawling. You must do your work or you will continue to be sick and you will continue to not have knowledge. You must do this for Kokwe and for the others. Now go do your work. I went home 3 weeks later. Was initiated in Ghana, have been healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I've been given a new life, a new name, and a new title. And I now confidently stand in who I am.
I say.
It's very, very beautiful. So those that hear the call, go. Do not run. Just walk gently into the light. Because if you run, then you run into confusion. Just walk gently. Know that you're being called by a high and mighty force. And know that oftentimes it's not going to look like what everyone else is doing. You're going to be odd, and it's a beautiful thing. Because even the prophets, all the prophets that came, if they operated just solely on being loved, they would have been killed early on. But they operated on being different and carrying the cross and the crown, no matter who likes it. So it's my advice to anyone out here that if you know your crown, please put it on. If you have a throne, please sit upon it and call upon yourself the things that you most need to complete your journey here, because we cannot be a waste on this journey. We have to be able to occupy precious space.
That's very powerful. Something you would not know, I call this our square circle of God and goddesses, prophets and prophetess. And indeed, we all are here because whether we're clear on it or can see it or can touch it, we're all drawn by ministry. And I make no effort to sort of mold or sculpt people's religious choice, but to assist them in opening up spiritually so that we can hear from spirit and connect with spirit and recognize that we are and have all that we need. It's divinely innate and inherent as children of the divine creator. So all of this I call weather. It's just illusionary and transitory, and it's constantly in motion. And I pray for the endurance of our ancestors because they managed to survive and overcome so many great hardships. And there are many of us now, even myself, who sometimes get lost in the littlest event you know, the bill is going to be late, or, you know, someone didn't do what they said they were going to do. And we make this into such a big thing. And some of us have used that as an excuse not to connect,
mm-hmm.
not to step up into positions of leadership,
mm-hmm.
not to organize, not to do the things and fulfill the creative destiny of those seeds that Spirit has planted in us to birth now at this most present time. The only time that we have this now moment. So that's indeed a very powerful message that you just gave, and it resonates so well with me and as well as others within the chat. And I do welcome the live callers and listeners to 347-215-8967. And if you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1. So that we can see your hand raised, and we'll be more than happy to address you.
As we enter the age of enlightenment, you know, this year coming up is a very, very powerful year, 2012. It's the age of Aquarius, the age of the Great Mother, the age of divine wisdom, the age of the Omi, the water, to come and to cleanse the earth. So it's very important, and many, many people now are hearing a call louder than they've ever heard it before. It's because all of the soldiers are being asked to stand up. All of the priests and the medicine people are being asked to stand up and rise up. Because as the year 2012 enters, we have to be ready. We have to be ready to escort in this mother spirit, which she's been a target for so long. The Great Mother has been a target for so long. And it's just going to be very, very powerful to see what manifests in 2012.
Yeah.
And surely 2011 has been a time of the great cleansing. Many people have had to say goodbye to people, situations, things, and harness a new power in order to receive the light. So all of the spirit workers are really rising up now in a different way. It's very, very powerful. I am so honored to be in that number, and I'm so honored to be a part of what's happening in Congo Square.
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted to add
crazy.
That
it's beautiful.
To the call. A great deal of us are being called south. And I think that's very, very important, not only in avenging, healing, remanifesting the life blood and life force of our ancestors, but also, as you suggested or hinted to, there will be some challenges ahead, as it might relate to water, as it might relate to food. And I know for me, Spirit made it clear that it was time for me. I was a city boy, you know. I was born in Chicago, grew up in D.C., which is still a part of the South. People tend to forget that.
I'm from Jersey, I know.
But it's probably the most northern part of the South. I lived within, you know, a few miles of the Mason-Dixon line in Maryland, and my parents made sure that we knew the history and what that marker meant every time we crossed it, you know, going and coming from church or wherever we were journeying to. But as early as 1990, specifically, I was being called to the South, not only so that I could grow my own herbs, grow my own food, be able to harvest food naturally in the wild, you know, as we can do here in New Orleans. I've talked about it on my show a lot. People with grapefruits and oranges and mistletoe leaves and mangoes in their yard. There's no other city like New Orleans to be able to have that kind of climate and access. But also the rhythm that we keep alive in Congo Square is very much alive here in New Orleans, unlike any other place that I've visited in the country or even in the South. And I'm a well-traveled individual from coast to coast. So I invite you to explore, to visit, to join us here in New Orleans, whether it be in Congo Square on Sundays, or if you're planning for any holiday, any festival, Mardi Gras, let us know. We will be more than happy to assist you in preparing your itinerary, taking you to the places that we go and that we connect, not just, you know, the tourist locations of the city, but the places where we truly connect with our past and our heritage and our ancestry. So I welcome you to connect with us here on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, on YouTube, at either of our YouTube channels. Zula can be found at youtube.com/Zion Trinity. I can be found at youtube.com/Divine Prince. And we welcome you to become a part of this history and this legacy as we keep spirit alive here in New Orleans.
And in keeping the spirit alive, we invite all of you to come every Sunday from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock to Congo Square, which is Armstrong Park, North Rampart Street. It is where our ancestors, the only sacred and holy land where our ancestors were able to drum and practice their traditions freely. We are now out there every Sunday. This was born, reborn, shall I say, in February through the efforts of several of the practitioners in this community. And the question posed to us in spirit was, our ancestors didn't ask permission to go out there. Why do we feel we have to ask for permission? So we decided that, you know, we don't have to ask for permission. Let us just go. And that is exactly what we've been doing. So we ask all of you to come out and join us. For those of you that are not in New Orleans, make your way here. There is such a pull here because spirit is live, alive, and it is just very, very real here. So we ask all of you from different backgrounds. There's no one tradition that meets in Congo Square. That's the beauty of it. It's a merging of many different traditions together. No one is critical of the other. We're all coming
that's
in the
right.
spirit of love. We're all coming in the name of love, in the name of all that's holy and all that's righteous, and whatever name you choose to call that entity, that is your choice. But we're not limited to a name. We are only practicing the spirit of love.
And Sula, we have a private chat question also, which is asking, what if you're unsure of your crown and you're torn between two paths? How would you address that?
Well, I can, you know, tell you from a personal perspective that as far as being torn between two crowns, understand that you have ancestors within you that may have been, you may have an ancestor that's Haitian. You may have a Yoruba ancestor on this side and an Ewe ancestor on this side. So often we will be called by different traditions, and that's the beauty of not having to choose, but instead recognizing all of those things that are in you, and we are not led by just one ancestor but by many. And in that leading, let me speak about myself. In being led into different traditions, I've gently allowed myself to walk into each one to see if they're for me and to see if that resonates in my soul. And in hindsight, when I was initiated under the Akan tradition, it was a bit of a surprise to me, quite frankly, because I had been with the Yoruba tradition for 20 years. And just always knew I would cross over with the Yorubas. And then as the more I discovered my grandmother, I realized, why do I keep being sent to Ghana? I keep being sent to Ghana in my work. I've been with Operation Crossroads Africa for 25 years, traveled with them for 25 years. And so each time I'd have a journey, I would end up going to Ghana. So I was like, okay, Great Spirit, what is this? I want to be sent to Nigeria. This is where my human mind wanted to be sent. But in truth, when I kept being sent to Ghana, I didn't understand it at the time. But here, fast forwarding 15, 20 years later, it is through the spirit of Kokwe that led me back to Ghana, and it is through my ancestors that told me I have to go through the Akan doorway first. But it does not negate my Yoruba path. It does not negate my Christian path. It doesn't negate my walk with Vudun. It doesn't negate my walk with the monastery, with the purple people in the Veil of Truth. All of those things make me who I am. And so I had to sit, when I was called to be initiated, I had to sit and make peace with those ancestors that had been calling me. I had to say, Ma Ferefun, thank you for your wisdom that you've given me.
Yeah.
However, I'm being called to this gateway, and I pray that you can respect that and still walk with me. Do not leave me, because I need you too. But right now I'm being called to this gateway for my power,
yeah,
for my ancestor stick, for my staff, for my horsetail, for my medicine. And that's not even discussing the Native American blood that we all have,
yeah,
in us. So it is not for us to choose. It is for us to be led. It is for us to walk gently into those spaces that we are being called to walk into. And I think it's very much an American mindset and an American boundary that we put around ourselves that makes us say we have to choose. You have to be Christian or Protestant,
right.
Catholic or Baptist. That's not that's not a reality in the world of spiritualism. That's not a reality. We are a beautiful mixture of all those ancestors that walk with us. So if we can get out of our American mindset and just be spirit,
yeah.
We would realize we don't have to choose, and that's the boundary that's been placed upon us in slavery. And when the Bible was forced upon us, we had to then say, okay, there's truth that resonates here, but I'm going to look at this from my African lens or from my Native American lens, because this is all part of who I am. So in those that feel they have to choose, I would say make peace with that warrior and that war within yourself and walk gently into those paths that you're being led to. You might 2 years walk, like for me, I walked with the Veil of Truth for 15 years. But at the same time, I was walking with the Yoruba and the Ghanaians too, because they are all part of who I am. And I can say that through the wisdom of the Veil of Truth, that is where I learned universal love, universal consciousness, that we're not from any one place, we're not from any one religion, we're not from any one ethnic background, but we are spirit having a human experience. And when I got that, I was free. I am free now. I'm a bird. I am the Sankofa bird that can fly to different lands. We are the Sankofa birds that can fly to different lands to gain our wisdom. And it doesn't mean we're bound by those lands.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my answer to that question.
I think also, too, for me, spirit is always going to take the glory. God, Goddess, is always going to take responsibility, ultimately, for any of our achievements. And I know for me, I was never able to complete anything, college or initiation into one path or the other path. And for many years, I thought it was me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not focused enough. I'm not committed enough. And one day, Spirit made it clear, I want the glory for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any university, any pastor, any Ifa priesty. I want the glory for who you are. And it was then that my role as a Pan-African spiritualist became clear, because we are, through the politics of the world and Western society, we are in conflict. We are being asked to choose one thing over another, you know, one path over another path, for which none of us are pure to any one thing. So I think, again, we're definitely right together there vibrationally, as it relates to how spirit is operating right now, and what works are being opened up here in New Orleans, because I think that's crucial, that we find a way to come together across denomination, across path, in order to build a foundation which is deserving, really, to New Orleans. It is indeed the spiritual center of the Pan-African diaspora as it relates to here in the Americas. There were a few places that, you know, slave ships docked at. This is one of those major places, and many of us have lost our connection to New Orleans or to Louisiana. I was 30 years old before my family told me we were from Buckaloo. I thought we were from Louise, Mississippi. And now that I know that, what kind of name is Louise, Mississippi? You know, it rings of Creole and that heritage, you know.
And that denial of the African.
Absolutely.
Which isn't their fault.
That was the second part. We were the dark Creole, so we were sort of separated out early on. There was a big battle in my family when my dad married my mother, who is blue-black in a very... In a very beautiful way. Yeah, that's my mom there.
Hey, Mama.
And that's my dad. But his family was very upset that he married a dark-skinned woman. Still trying to, you know, deal with that painful heritage of division and the brown paper bag test and, you know, all that craziness.
This is so painful.
Yeah.
It's just like in my family, Marie Therese Coincoin, I say to her spirit, Marie Therese Coincoin was explained to me all my life as an Indian woman. And I was like, it just never felt like true to me. I was like, this is not true. This is just not true. Even as 14, they would say, well, she's Indian. And I was saying, no, I didn't know her. There's no picture of her because she was born in the 1700s. But when I read the book, The Forgotten People, it was so liberating to know that I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. I knew she was African as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it resonated as a non-truth for my family because they were afraid. They always knew that I would be that one to run to Africa.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They wanted to shield me in some ways. And it's not their fault. It's what the slave master brought upon them, that they should feel ashamed of themselves as Africans. And they should feel ashamed of these beautiful practices. So it's not our parents or grandparents' fault. I love them. I forgive and honor them for and have compassion for what they dealt with during their time, that they couldn't be freely immersed in their African self.
Mm-hmm.
So when Coincoin, I'm going to say, began to mount me in spirit and say, let me know who she was, it was clear to me that my gateway will be through Africa. And I come to bring a truth back to my family without shame. There is no shame.
And the shame in my family was not just about complexion and skin color and ethnicity, but it was also about that connection to the religion.
Yes.
The hoodoo and the voodoo and the Geechee. And so that has played a great role also in the color divide in my family, as the darker sided family sort of got, you know, stigmatized, if you will, for wanting to maintain some of those Africanized traditions.
So, you know, there's a price that we pay.
Yeah.
But it is such a price of glory. It you know, whatever feels like pain in honoring these traditions or in having rejection from others and honoring them, ride the wave of that. Honestly, there's so much glory on the other side.
Girl, let me tell you,
I got
some odds and family members right now. I can't go in their kitchen. I couldn't go in their refrigerator. They're that spooked, if I may use that word, about the traditional African spiritual path.
And then you're going to put something in their food?
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, what's wrong with you people? It's really interesting.
It's deep-seated.
Yeah,
it's very, very deep. It's very, very deep. And, again, we can talk about that side all day, but what's more glorious is the other side of that.
Yeah.
Because on the other side of that dysfunction is so much glory. And when I look upon the ancestors, this is what I feel. How blessed are we that they have handpicked us for this work?
Yeah.
They could have chosen your cousin. They could have chosen my AT from South Jersey. They could have chosen anybody. But we were handpicked for this. And that feels so beautiful to me. It is just glorious to me.
I was sharing with a sister yesterday who was having some issues, so she feels, with having her family on her Facebook. And she had a lot of people who sort of agreed, you know, well, you shouldn't have your family on your Facebook, and all they're going to do is spread your business and this, that, and the other. And it was so much negativity that I felt that I needed to send her a private message rather than even comment on the wall post. And I offered to her that she has a unique opportunity to heal her family and take her family in a different direction with this technology. Now I have nieces and nephews and cousins and family members who I never hear from, but they're watching, they're observing, they're seeing what we do and what we're doing on Sundays and, you know, what we're eating and the recipes we're sharing, and it's beginning to penetrate. And every now and then I'll have an older person that I call and say, you know, my son really gets a lot from you. He may not send you a message. He might not send you an email and tell you that he's paying attention, but it does something to his spirit to see you offer that demonstration.
Yes.
Because I see it as demonstration. We can make our mouths say anything. We can learn, you know, all kind of languages and traditions and rituals. Ultimately, it's our demonstration, how people see us live and deal with everyday things that we all have to deal with that really leave the most lasting impact. So this is an opportunity to not only share our healing, our transformation, you know, with others, but to use this medium, you know, the technology, the cell phones, the texting, and the Facebooks and all that stuff to reach people in our families and communities and globally that we otherwise wouldn't have that immediate contact.
That's
you know, we're being faulted now for interfering in wars and uprisings in other countries and other, you know, governments. However you see that, good or bad, I think we have to assume the value of the responsibility that comes with having that type of access and not just share, you know, our disappointment, but also share those things that are working for us, for those people who may very well be listening to us or reading us on the Internet who want some answers.
I
operate a result-oriented ministry. That's one of my taglines. We specialize in results. Everything else is vanity.
Exactly.
We can sit here and spew psychology and philosophy and religion and what have you. But if people's lives aren't being healed, being transformed, if their issues aren't being addressed, it's all vanity. It's all ego.
It's really in putting in silencing the ego that you can that's the only way that we can really grow in this tradition. And what I came to understand is that all these lines of division that people try to create around religion, ultimately, love is our religion. Ultimately, our mission in life, when we are born into this work, our mission is to spread love, forgive our enemies. These are all of the just basics to religious practices. Whether you call yourself Baptist, Christian, it doesn't mean going to church on Sunday and then leaving the church house and talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
It means honestly spreading love and beauty to others, because that is really in Christ consciousness and ancestor consciousness and highest level of consciousness that we can attain. So when people ask, what is my religion? I can say, I am from the Shawnee Santrofi in Pohima, Ghana, West Africa. I can say all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I choose to say, love is my religion, and that is what I choose to spread. Because when I get into my title, then that's placing me in my ego self. When in truth, if someone
who
asks
your
me,
godparent, what ego
well,
are you with?
I am so proud to say,
who your pastor is?
Who your pastor is?
You know, yeah.
They get and
yes.
When people start asking you all of that, then you have to say, well, I'm this and I'm that, and it kind of compartmentalizes you where God has asked me us to be that butterfly and that bird and just spread love and beauty and wisdom and consciousness to people. And I can say in my work, you know, in my personal work, and I do house blessings, I do, I would have to say, people ask me, do you do readings? Yes, I can read. But I feel like my greatest gift is to clear people's roads.
Mm-hmm.
I am the road clearer. I am the one in spirit and truth that is the hollow bone through which spirit can operate.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I do my work, I say, God, make me the hollow bone so that your spirit can pass through me for the highest good of this person.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the hollow bone. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. We are the spirit of love.
Yes.
We are the manifestation of God in the flesh. And even in the Christian traditions, you know, that's why I love that song, I Shall Not Be Moved, in truth, no matter what anyone thinks, you have to be moved to what you have been called to. So that song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. So that's really what it's about. Do not be moved by other things. I invite you to tune into this show every day at 12 o'clock. It's a wonderful experience. I also invite you to contact me directly. My name is Sula, and they call me Sula the Doula. I'm also a birth doula. If you're pregnant and in need of some beautiful love sister energy, then you call, and I can be reached at 504-251-4702.
You can also go to my website for my merchandising company, my sister and I, in Zion Trinity, www.kingandqueenemporium.com. And you can also check out doula services at www.nazayadoulas.com. That's nazayadoulas.com. I thank you so much for having me on this show. I just love you, divine friend.
And I love you as well.
I just want to say that ever since I've laid eyes on you in Congo Square, I always knew that you were my brother in the spirit from day one. And
okay, we do have a caller.
Oh, wonderful.
One moment, beloved. I see your hand is raised. We didn't intend to neglect you. Just give me a moment to open your line, okay? Okay. Radaya, divine peace and blessings. We welcome you.
Greetings, family.
Greetings, family. How are you, queen?
I'm doing good. This is Omoye Maya in the chat room. I wanted to say I really enjoyed this show, and I wanted to ask both of you guys a question. Have you guys noticed the energy shift? Well, I know that you noticed that, but within, I guess you could say, the ATR community, as far as, I guess, what's being weeded out are the real spiritual people and the non. And I don't even know if that's the right category, but you guys get where I'm going with this.
I think I do. I referred to that yesterday as spirit of commercialism to some degree. Also, fad. I think that many people are leaving our quote-unquote mainstream religion and are seeking answers and are seeking direction, but are sort of lazy, I think, about the journey and are not willing to often do the work, the homework, the research to align themselves with something that is in balance, if you will, with their spirit. So, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a certain popularity with Shango. There's a certain popularity with Legba. And people are sort of setting up altars and are immersing themselves in the images and symbolism, but are not really committing to the journey, to the initiatory processes, to connecting with elders, to connecting with people who are legitimately operating in spirit. And we also see that mirrored back from Christianity, unfortunately, with the prosperity ministries. Many people are drawn to these churches because they see prosperity. They see materialism. Being saved or surrendering to God or humbling themselves, it's really not, you know, in the top five in their priority, literally. You know, we talk the language, but it's really not what our focus is. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you're sort of seeing.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Divine, that there's like, and I've talked about this for a long time, there's like this spiritual commercialism, if you will, and the variables of secular society are being transferred over into the indigenous spiritual space, which is very inappropriate. So now that the energies are trickling down here in the cosmos and we're making this shift, you see like this separation within spiritual communities. Things that you thought were not, things that weren't visible in essence are becoming visible. So you see the and I really hate saying this, but this is what it is. You're seeing the real priest being separated from the Fugazis. A Fugazi is a fake diamond. So spiritually, spirit is weeding out, if you will, all of the Fugazis, and the real troops are like gathering up their weapons. Don't take that the wrong way, people, but y'all know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we understand.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with you 100%. And that is an issue that I personally, within my ministry and my temple space here, have had to confront. as a post-Katrina, Hurricane Katrina survivor, I'm having to really remake my livelihood. I've had to tap into the internet and utilize a lot of the resources as they relate to technology to extend my reach. But in doing that, I'm seeing much of what you're seeing, people who are better resourced than I. I'm seeing people who may be considered attractive, for instance. I know many spiritualists who are operating online right now who are using a fake profile of someone blonde hair and blue eyes because they feel that would get them a greater reach financially and commercially online. So you really don't know who and what you're dealing with, which is why I have so many photographs and videos of myself here as well as in the community. I want people to know that this is who I am. It's not an internet persona. Yeah. It's not a character that I put on to come on Facebook, and then I'm doing something completely different, you know, in my personal life.
Okay.
So we're in agreement. We're definitely in agreement. Sula has to run, so I'm going to give her the opportunity to give her peace and blessing.
Well, I just want to say bye before I hang up, and I send you so much love, Divine. I love Nola, and I love what y'all are doing. I send you a lot of love, family.
Yeah, Mommy, thank you. And please, if you find yourself in New Orleans, if you're not here already, please come to Congo Square. We've been doing some very, very powerful, not we, the Creator has used us to do, as hollow bones, to do some very, very powerful healing in Congo Square. And people are coming, babies are coming, elders are coming, and the light is there, and the ancestors are very, very present. So all love to everyone, and I just pray that we all reach our highest destiny, that we be given the roadmap in order to be successful to attain the highest level of our destiny and the highest level of our consciousness in the spirit realm. So I love you, sister, in spirit and truth, and I'm just praying that all of us, you know, be able to meet in a holy place very soon.
Yeah, give thanks.
I want to say one thing about Divine Prince. Brother, ever since I've ever seen you, you know, from what you've told me, we've been in each other's presence for a long time, but I did not know you. And when you came into the park months ago in February, I recognized you as a holy and righteous presence, and I want to thank you for what you're doing. I had no idea of the vastness of your work. You often don't know a person until you sit and talk with them, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity. You're beautiful. You are truly a being of light. You are truly a prophet. You are truly a priest, and I thank you. I give thanks to your parents who had you, who brought your beauty forward, and I give thanks to them for their power and their work and their energy. And I love you from the divine place.
Thank you, and I love you too.
And I'll see you Sunday.
All right, definitely most perfect will. Congo Square. Give thanks. All is truly and indeed a blessing.
Get what's mine. Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find
phone crazy for sure. You can open giant doors. Will I ever fight forevermore? Shabby the sheets on my right hand. Marcos watch over me. Protect us from our enemies. And all the skies and far on my right hand.
Thank you.